One of the hardest parts of getting older is feeling like something's off in your body, but not knowing exactly what. It's not just aging. It's often your hormones, too. When they fall out of balance, everything feels off. But here's the good news. This doesn't have to be the story of your next chapter. Hormone Harmony by Happy Mammoth is an herbal formula made with science-backed ingredients designed to fine-tune your hormones by balancing estrogen, testosterone, progesterone, and even stress hormones like cortisol. It helps with common issues such as hot flashes, poor sleep, low energy, bloating, and more. With over 40,000 reviews and a bottle sold every 24 seconds, the results speak for themselves. A survey found 86% of women lost weight, 77% saw an improved mood, and 100% felt like themselves again. Start your next chapter feeling balanced and in control. For a limited time, get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com with code NEXTCHAPTER at checkout. Visit happymammoth.com today and get your old self back naturally.
Welcome to Let's Talk Midlife Crisis. I'm Ashley.
And I'm Tracy. We're your go-to hosts for all things midlife, menopause, and moments of pure mayhem. And today we're going to talk about overcoming hopelessness and helplessness.
Oh, I'm so impressed, Tracy. You did it.
Well, I know. It's a tongue twister.
It is.
And then we've had a couple mimosas, to be honest.
We have. It's we're a little more buzzed than normal today, but
honestly, we are.
You know, we were having, yes, it is because Dina's here. And we're thrilled. We're thrilled that you're here, and we're thrilled that we're buzzed.
Exactly. Exactly. Yes. That's what this show was made on.
Yes. Well, drinks were in order because we've, you know, had some
More discussions
in our little friend group that have just been a little challenging. So we're all here for each other.
Thank you. Yes, we are. Yes, we are. And welcome back, Dina.
Yes, welcome.
Happy to be here.
So I really wanted to dive into understanding hopelessness and helplessness. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a difference between the two. Hopelessness is feeling like things will never get better. While helplessness is feeling like you have no control to change things.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
So, and how these common feelings are, especially in midlife, mm-hmm. due to career shifts, health changes, empty nest syndrome, relationship struggles, are impacting women and people today.
Yeah. And I think monotony can cause a lot of that too.
Yes.
I've kind of felt that way, I would say, over the last few months, like, okay, I need something. I need something. Like, it's just too monotonous. And something came to me, which is cool. But
Are you going to share that with us, or are you going to make us wait?
No, it was just a business opportunity. As you know, the company that I own, I bought it from a gentleman that retired. And I have another colleague that's retiring soon and called me last week and asked me to take over his business.
Oh, awesome.
So, yeah. So I'm like, okay, cool. This is going to, you know, shake things up a little bit. So,
yes.
But I do, I did find myself kind of feeling like hopeless, like,
yeah,
okay, just go through the motions, that type of, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So sometimes you just need things to switch up a little.
You do. And recognizing the signs is really mm-hmm. important too, between the differences of each one.
Right.
Because maybe you don't know why mm-hmm. you're feeling like blah.
Right.
Or in a rut or, you know,
yeah.
however it is you're feeling. But the persistent feelings of sadness and or being overwhelmed.
Right.
A lack of motivation or interest in things you once enjoyed.
Right.
Feeling stuck in negative thought patterns. That's huge for me. Yeah. We talked about loops before in your brain and how, you know, you continually loop.
And manifestation.
Yes, yes.
Right.
And increased anxiety or physical symptoms like fatigue or trouble sleeping.
Mm-hmm.
All of those, you know, can be caused by one or both of those feelings
right.
that you're going through.
That makes sense.
Mm-hmm. The power of perspective shift.
Mm-hmm.
is important. So reframing negative thoughts, moving from I can't to what if I try?
Oh, I like that.
Right?
Ooh.
Trying to stay positive. I try so hard to be positive. And then I
think you're very positive.
Yes. But then I find myself getting pulled down daily, right? Whether it's through professional things or,
right.
you know, in life with my children or grandchildren mm-hmm. or friends, right? I just try to be positive. It's not always easy.
Right.
And I'm constantly trying to change the narrative in my mind.
Yeah. I definitely don't ever see negative from you. I mean, you're definitely one of those. Thank you. Now, let's be realistic, okay. You know, but not negative. Yes. Like you're always very positive.
I try to be positive. It's yeah. It's an effort and it's a conscious thing. Uh-huh. It has become more of a conscious thing. I think as I'm aging, it's more
right.
consciousness versus how it was so natural when I was younger, mm-hmm. you know, just to let things go or just whatever. Anyways, it's more of a conscious effort now.
Yeah, and it definitely sets the tone for your day, mm-hmm. you know.
And understanding that emotions are temporary and not permanent truths.
That's one thing I tell my kids all the time because they get so worked up over things. And I'm like, is this going to matter in 2 weeks? Is this going to matter in six yes. months? Like, absolutely. Do you need to be this worked up?
Absolutely. So important. Yeah, I have this daily reminder that comes up. Like around 3 o'clock every day. Well, it did when, you know, because that was really important for me to have that reminder at 3 o'clock yeah. on a work day.
And now that
you're, and there was yeah. something about, I can't quote it verbatim, but it was something about whatever is upsetting you is not, it's not a big deal.
Oh, yeah.
And I like so, that. And it was just love people, you know, mm-hmm. I'm a work in progress. Everybody else is, you know, just these reminders that are,
helpful.
So helpful.
Yeah. Yeah. And needed, right? And
absolutely.
Necessary.
Yeah.
And practicing self-compassion and treating yourself with the same kindness that you would show a friend.
Yeah.
I think that we're really hard on ourselves.
Ourselves. Really, I agree.
I'm way harder on myself than I am on anyone.
Right? Yeah, yeah. I am too.
Yeah.
It's horrible.
Yeah. So small actionable steps towards change are possible. Right. Mm-hmm. And the importance of starting small, maybe a 5-minute walk, a journal entry, or a phone call to a friend.
Yes.
Right. Or is a way that you might be able to overcome it. Setting micro goals to rebuild confidence and momentum.
Micro goals.
Micro goals.
I've never just heard small. That before.
Me either.
I like that.
Right?
I like do like that. Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah.
It's not as intimidating as
right.
just saying set goals.
That's your 5-year goal.
Right.
Where do you want to be in 5 years? Like, where do I want to be in 5 minutes?
Right. Right.
Let's start small. Start yeah. small.
5 seconds.
And focusing on what you can control instead of what you can't.
Mm-hmm.
And I have lived by that. So my ex-husband, I was only married once, but my oldest daughter's dad... was an alcoholic,
mm-hmm.
came from a long line of alcoholics. Mm-hmm. His dad, his, you know, grandpa, like it was all the way down the line. So at a very young age, I went to AA and NA,
mm-hmm.
and they have their 12 steps, wow. right? And one of those steps was the ability to accept the things that you cannot change,
right?
The courage to change the things you can,
mm-hmm.
and the knowledge to know the difference.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's
so,
amazing.
And, so I learned that from a very young age, and it has just resonated. It stuck with me, you know, through
that's
my
awesome.
Whole life.
It's called the Serenity Prayer.
Yes.
And it is, yeah, that's a really good one. I mean, like, so many people know that one. And
you don't have to be an alcoholic.
No.
It's just everyday life now. You're
right.
not addicted to anything. I think it's just great advice to live by.
Oh, absolutely.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I, this is kind of a funny example, but so my daughter got a new phone and it came in the mail and she insisted on setting it up right away. And her old phone was still working, okay, but I can't remember why she needed a new one. Anyway, she wasn't getting a case until the next day it was coming in the mail. And so I'm like, why do you have to set it up now? Why can't you just wait until you have protection for it? She's like, it'll be fine. It'll be fine. Sure as shit. She comes home the next day,
comes
to my house the next day and says, I cracked my phone.
Oh.
I dropped my phone and I cracked it. And I just lost it. And my mom was here and she came in the room. She said, what's wrong? What's going on? And I said, she already broke her effing phone. And my mom just looked at me and I walked out of the room and I think I was getting ready in the bathroom or something. I was doing something, brushing my hair. I don't know. My mom walks in. She goes, are you okay? And I said, I'm fine. I don't know why I let things like that get to me. Yeah. Like, it's not my problem.
Right.
Why am I getting so worked up over something that's not my problem? You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's kind of a funny example, but yeah. It's something I'm still working on, clearly.
That's a funny example. I, you know, I hesitate to even say it, but watching the news, I mean, talk about a feeling of helplessness.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Not hopeless, because hopelessness to me is probably the most devastating feeling that anyone
I was going to say dark. Like, that's what brings that's to what, my mind is darkness.
That's what brings you to a point of suicide.
Yeah.
Helplessness, yeah. Maybe not so much. But
well, maybe it's
no
a step in that direction, though. Mm-hmm. Maybe you start with helplessness, and then it evolves into hopelessness.
Right.
Yes,
right?
It's definitely.
And then, and depression.
But to me, that's the worst.
Yeah.
That is, and it breaks my heart, because whenever I do hear of someone committing suicide, that's the first thing. Oh my God, they were so hopeless. They felt like there was literally
there was
nothing
no other
else.
Option.
Yeah, and it breaks my heart to hear about
it. It is. It's
like
terrible. Yeah.
Yeah. So it brings us to the role of connection and support, which is, important. Of course, why we're here today.
Yes.
But how isolation can worsen hopelessness and why reaching out is crucial.
Really is.
Right?
Yeah, absolutely.
So I think
I've
any
been
stage.
Depressed, and like in the late 2009-ish, I was really depressed and not suicidal, but I could understand why somebody would be suicidal.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's how close I was. But I was isolating myself. That's what I was doing.
Yeah.
I think it's natural.
I was going to say, I think that's a natural feeling to have, is just wanting to be alone or even feeling like a burden to people because you're not feeling the joy.
Right.
And,
or like,
you know,
I just mentioned, you know, always being positive. Yeah. So when I feel really negative and don't have anything nice to say, and it's funny because I was raised, if you don't have anything nice to say,
don't
say
anything at all.
Right. And I taught that to my kids. So then I'm thinking that to myself, right? Preaching it to myself. And then it's like, well, I guess I better not talk to anybody because I don't have anything nice to say.
Right.
I don't know. But finding support through friends, mentors, and support groups, or therapy. Mm-hmm. And we've talked about therapy a lot.
Yes.
And we're firm believers of it.
Mm-hmm.
And thankfully, it's mainstream now.
Right.
Used to
it's
be.
It's not taboo.
Exactly.
Right. Yeah.
So if you're feeling this way, please reach out. Right. Call
I mean,
us.
It's actually pretty cool to have a therapist.
If you don't have a therapist, you're kind of
not in with the crowd, guys.
Exactly.
No, I just think it's really great. Like, to your point, when you are having days where you're feeling very negative and you don't really have anything great to say, my poor therapist, like, some days I do just go in there and complain.
And vent,
And just vent. Like, I want to strangle my son right now, or, you know, so, like, and it's just nice having that release. It's not always something, like, deep and, you know, you were working on my childhood, or it's not always like that.
Right.
It's also a place that's safe. For me to go let all that steam out, you know, so.
And I think they look out for you for the better, right? Even if you don't think so,
right?
Like, if they see something that's alarming, then they're going to notify authorities.
Right, absolutely. Right? And one thing that's cool, too, I definitely love that she holds me accountable.
Yes.
So even in moments like that, if I am saying something that's probably not fair or I'm not really paying attention to what the problem is, she holds me accountable.
Yeah. That outsider, that third party, you know, looking from, you know, not like it's our inner circle.
Right.
It's somebody from the outside looking in that can perhaps, and is also trained and skilled and educated.
Exactly.
You know,
professional.
To provide you the tools to identify situations and provide you with tools to overcome them.
Right.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Exactly. Yeah. So finding support through friends, mentors, the power of helping others as a way to feel empowered yourself. So I think that's me a lot, because I try to always be there for my friends, for my children, for my family. And I feel that it does empower me.
Oh, yeah.
To
absolutely.
Help other people.
I mean, I even do that, like, with my neighbors.
Yes.
You know, if they're in need of something, it feels good to be helpful.
Well, and it takes the focus off yourself.
True.
And exactly. I'm sure you guys have heard this said, that if all of us were to throw our piles of troubles down on the floor, we'd all rush to get our own, because when we start seeing what other people are going through,
right,
it's, horrendous what some people are going through. So,
and you don't know. You don't always know what someone else is going through.
Yeah.
You know?
But having an independent third party also keeps you from just the echo chamber that, is such a common term now. Like, you go to your friends, and obviously they're going to support you. At least most of them are. And,
most of them.
If they're not supporting you, then maybe, it's time to take a step back for a minute.
But it is really important to have that third party that can come in and really be objective about what you're dealing with. And like you said, give you the tools to...
One of the hardest parts of getting older is feeling like something's off in your body, but not knowing exactly what. It's not just aging. It's often your hormones, too. When they fall out of balance, everything feels off. But here's the good news. This doesn't have to be the story of your next chapter. Hormone Harmony by Happy Mammoth is an herbal formula made with science-backed ingredients designed to fine-tune your hormones by balancing estrogen, testosterone, progesterone, and even stress hormones like cortisol. It helps with common issues such as hot flashes, poor sleep, low energy, bloating, and more. With over 40,000 reviews and a bottle sold every 24 seconds, the results speak for themselves. A survey found 86% of women lost weight, 77% saw an improved mood, and 100% felt like themselves again. Start your next chapter feeling balanced and in control. For a limited time, get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com with code NEXTCHAPTER at checkout. Visit happymammoth.com today and get your old self back naturally.
To
work through
back,
it.
Basically.
Yeah.
And mind-body strategies for emotional resilience. Exercise and movement.
Okay.
As natural mood boosters. Mm-hmm. And we've talked about that a lot.
Yes.
I don't get enough movement, enough exercise, not enough steps. And I know how important it is. And I feel it. That's the most important thing.
Yeah.
When it's happening, I know it. Mm-hmm. Not only because I have a step meter on my phone that will tell me it, but I also know it. And then I start, spinning downward, spinning downward about it, but trying to force myself to.
Yeah, I find when I'm having, episodes with, my tendonitis or anything like that, and I'm hurting, I don't really realize that I'm hurting. What I notice first, usually, is that I'm in a bad mood.
Yeah.
Which is, and then it's like, why am I in a bad mood? Yeah. Oh, you know what? I'm really sore. I need to stretch. Yes. I haven't stretched today. And so, it really can affect your mindset. Mm-hmm. When I went through my last divorce, I spent hours and hours at the gym every day. I mean, I was there at least 3 hours a day.
I remember.
Oh. But I wasn't seeing a therapist. Right. It was my therapy.
Yes.
It was my therapy.
Well, you, Ashley, are probably one of the first people that I really remember saying how much better you feel when you work out.
And I've
heard that so many
times. We caught drinking the night before, and crack of dawn, she's at the gym, and we're like, what?
And I distinctly remember, and it's come up several times since, and I still feel this way. I want to know what that feels like, because I don't know what that feels like. Even when I've tried in the past to get into, spas and gyms and, whatever, fitness things, and it never does that for me, and I want to feel that.
Yeah, I definitely think it's everyone's different, and to some people working out is work.
It's hard.
Yeah. And they don't get that high or that adrenaline,
Yeah.
And I totally can understand that. But there's other things, like even just going for a walk. I know that you when you were working in the office, you would go on your walks.
Which is one of the things I miss now.
Right.
So somebody asked me how I feel about being semi-retired, but I don't like it. Yeah. I want to go back to work.
You just need to create new routines.
Exactly.
Yes.
Right? True.
Yeah. But so for you, that was your joy.
It was.
And it was movement.
Yeah.
It was movement.
Absolutely.
So.
And the benefit of meditation, breath work, and grounding exercises, mm-hmm. which we've talked about a lot on our show.
Yes.
A lot.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Another thing that it really helps, again, if you're in a bad mood or feeling anxious or helpless, you know, I think meditation is huge.
Yes.
It's something that my kids practice with their anxiety. If they're in the, you know, the moment of having an anxiety attack, they just step away, do a breathing technique, and it just kind of helps the whole body calm, which really, I mean, when you have anxiety, it's a huge physical effect,
yes.
you know?
Yes.
So if you can just calm your body, then it helps your mind
yes.
too.
Yes. 100%. So. 100%. And nutrition's role in mental health, right? Reducing sugar, increasing omega-3s, etc.,
mm-hmm.
Is very helpful. And mm-hmm. we've talked a lot about that.
Right.
Diet, nutrition, we were just talking
yes.
about that prior to the
yeah.
show, how important it is.
Mm-hmm.
So those types of things are things to keep top of mind when you're feeling that way. Take a look at it and what can you change? And maybe it's not a radical change.
Right.
It's just something so small.
Right? I've, in the last few years, heard that a lot, that your diet can drastically affect your mental health.
Yes.
Which
oh,
is
yes.
nothing I ever really would have thought of before.
Oh, yes.
You know, to me, it's just physical.
Right.
But that's not true.
No.
It is, I mean, and if you think right. about it, you know, yeah, it's nice to have, you know, cheat and have the greasy hamburger and French mm-hmm. fries and it feels good eating it. But then afterward, it's like, ugh.
Yeah.
Like my gut feels heavy. I'm tired, you know? So I think if, you know, if that's like a pattern, that's something that you're doing frequently, you can kind of pin it down and go, okay, maybe I should only do that twice a week. You know, things like that, just small changes.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. That's what we were talking about
uh-huh.
before the show was nutrition and its relevance to literally every single process in our bodies.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe it's only recent that they've been talking about the effect on mental health
right.
from the foods that we eat.
Yeah.
But I mean, like we know, like I didn't know, but the people that suffer from inflammatory
mm-hmm.
issues, like arthritis, mm-hmm. I think is a
yes.
prime example.
Right.
Thank
arthritis
God.
Arthritis and tendonitis right here.
Yeah, really?
Yeah.
Thank God. I mean, I'm way older than you and I don't have any of those issues. I don't know why. Maybe because I haven't been working out. But
it could be the tendonitis did not start until I was lifting heavy weights.
Oh
so.
Wow!
Yeah,
interesting. But there's foods that can aggravate it, including
yes.
like
yes.
the fried foods. I think is like one of the big ones.
Absolutely,
and sugar, of course.
Yes.
And,
yeah.
But yeah, it is interesting to see how nutrition plays a role in our mental health.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, it didn't even dawn on me until my later years,
mm-hmm.
right? When I was young, I had no
issues. You could
eat
anything.
Yes.
Yeah.
I could eat anything. I could do anything.
Uh-huh.
I didn't have, you know, these mental loops or, you know, any of the things that I feel that I have now.
Right.
Right? So, but what we'd like to talk about is building a hope toolkit.
Oh.
So keeping a gratitude journal to shift focus to positives.
Very
okay.
Yeah.
We talked about that a lot. Manifestation.
Mm-hmm.
We highly believe in that. We practice it regularly ourselves. This is something that I also do. But sometimes I think I just do it now because I've done it for so long.
Yeah.
But I've also talked to my children about doing it. Is creating a playlist of uplifting songs, which
yes.
is what I call my happy music. Go to your happy place.
Oh, I love that.
You know, I tell my son all the time, I know you're getting stressed and stuff's, you know, affecting you. If it's, you know, at home or the kids or work, and just put your happy music on.
Music is very
it's
therapeutic for me.
Yeah.
It really is.
Yeah. Engaging in creative or fulfilling activities that bring joy.
Yep. That's another one that
yeah.
I think is really helpful for me too. I think I've mentioned before, I went through a period where I wasn't happy about anything. Like
yep.
nothing brought me joy.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was just kind of in this like really rough patch and, ended up getting on an antidepressant, which helped immensely. Again, therapy, psychiatry,
right.
it's all
it.
Great.
Yeah.
But yeah, and now I'm doing things that I enjoy again. And
yeah.
whereas before, not only did I not want to do them, but if I did do them, they didn't bring me joy.
Yeah.
And it was just a serotonin, dopamine imbalance. Right. Yeah, that's all it was.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's, I mean, that's really sad if you get to a point where things that used to bring you joy don't anymore. So yeah. Be very in tune with your body and what you're experiencing and get the help if you need it.
Yep. Yeah. And having affirmations or mantras for tough moments. So, you know, in effect, trying to be prepared.
Right.
Right? Like happy music. Have your playlist.
Or even like Dina's reminder on her phone every day that every will pop day. Up, you know? Yeah.
Right. You know, I love that. You just start, you know, feeling dragging and those types of things. So, and also it's important to know when to seek professional help.
Yes.
And we've talked about it, you know, till we're blue in the face, but recognizing when feelings become too heavy to manage alone. Right, that's a warning sign, something to look for.
Your friends can't help you. You're still feeling depressed or whatever.
Right, right. The importance of therapy, coaching, or medical support.
Right.
Right, we talked about
medication.
And one of our most recent guests, Carla Joy, who is a life coach, she and Debbie Weiss as well.
Yes.
They just make me smile.
I know, every time I see them.
About them or seeing them. They just make me smile. And I think, when I was trying to think of getting motivated, I thought, I bet Carla Joy could keep me going. Like, I need to call her. But yeah, whatever it takes for you. And debunking the stigma around mental health help, right?
It's better,
strength,
it's
not weakness. It's a strength and not a weakness. Yeah,
yeah.
Absolutely.
It's still, I'm with you, Dina. I still don't feel like there's enough awareness around it.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, you know, I've been very vocal about my situation, you know, and my kids, what they struggle with. It's something that runs in my family, unfortunately.
Yeah.
And you just really have to reach out to your resources and take care of yourself because it can get really bad.
Don't worry about what anybody thinks, even if they don't agree with you, that's fine. But I do see it's getting better.
Yeah, it is. It is.
At least as far as the acceptance, the stigma, you know, going to counseling and things like that is so important. It's crazy.
I still think kids need to be taught more, though, like I said, to be in tune with your body and what, you know, you're dealing with. And not just kids, adults, too.
But I think it's easier to identify it when you get more mature.
Yes.
Right?
Absolutely.
So, and also, I think that people our age has gone through something in their life that has created a feeling of hopelessness or helplessness.
I mean, that's
it's almost impossible to, get around at some point. So I think once you get our age, you've either went through it.
Right. And, or you're going through it.
Or you're going through it.
Or you're going to be going through it.
Yeah.
And there's no getting around it.
Yeah. And that's what took me to therapy initially was the way I was handling a lot of the trauma in my life at that time. You know, the loss of my mother-in-law, the loss of, the suicide of my cousin. There was just a lot of heavy stuff going on. My son was having issues. And the way that I coped as a young adult... that's what I was still doing, and it wasn't working for me anymore.
Right. Yeah.
But I didn't know any different.
Right.
You know, and I had a lot of trauma in my childhood.
Yeah.
I've actually been diagnosed with PTSD.
Oh,
And that's what was triggered when I was going through trauma again. Mm-hmm. But the way I used to cope was no longer serving me.
Right.
And so that was what took me to therapy. So again, if you ever feel like you're in a place like that, just really pay attention to what you're feeling, what you're thinking, on what you're doing. Right.
And that you're not alone.
Right.
You are not alone.
It's that feeling of hopelessness.
Yes. Yes.
Because that's the scary one.
It is.
Me. That's the line.
Very scary.
Yeah. Hope is always possible, even when it doesn't feel like it.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Just because you're alive.
You
have hope because you're alive. Things can and will get better in most cases.
Right.
Take it one day at a time.
Yeah.
And like I've told my son when he's going through his challenges, many challenges, but and if it's not a day at a time, an hour at a time, or a minute at a time, whatever is necessary for you to get through this, right? And change happens one small step at a time. Just take the next step.
Well, that wraps it up for today. Thanks for joining us on Let's Talk Midlife Crisis. We hope you got some laughs, a little inspiration, and maybe a few new ideas.
If you loved today's episode, hit that subscribe button so you'll never miss an episode. And hey, share the love. Send this episode to a friend who could use a good laugh and some midlife wisdom.
Connect with us on social media at Let's Talk Midlife Crisis and let us know what's on your mind. We love hearing from you.